Reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 6, attaining the supreme. Yangyam vapi smaran bhavam, yajantyam te kaleharam, tam dami vaiti konteya, saratat bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers, when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Purport. The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. A person who at the end of his life quits his body thinking of Krishna attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. One's thoughts during the course of this life determine, they accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. So if in one's present life one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. That will help one be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental, spiritual, not material. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the best process for successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life. Muktam karati vachalam bhagavam langate ginim yakipam tanam bande shi kuntim chayinam om agyana timurandasya gyanan shala shalakaya chukshir miritam yena tasamai shi guruveyam. So the present is very, very important. What we do right now will determine where we go in our next life. This life is full of moments that are in the present. So we want to make the best use of the present moment. Now we have a goal, we want to go to the spiritual world. We don't want to die again, we don't want to get old again. Old age is no fun, and it happens to all of us who live long. I never thought it would happen to me, but it did. And it happens. At old age, disease, most everyone has experienced. This is unnatural to the soul. We want to live eternally. We don't want old age. We want to be older than 16 years old. So that then we should go to the spiritual world, because that's where we can have all these things. So how to remember Krishna at the time of death? By chanting Hare Krishna. If you read this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, 17 times in the purports, Prabhupada says you have to chant Hare Krishna. Sometimes he puts the whole mantra. Very, very important point. So, what happens at death? The senses slowly stop one by one. So it's very difficult to remember anything, actually. I had a near-death experience where they gave me an overdose of anesthesia, and it worked, except I was conscious. My memory was gone, my identity was gone. For all I knew, I could just be a molecule or an atom floating somewhere. But my consciousness was there, still. And so what happened in that, everything was black, and I was watching the blackness. All of a sudden, the holy name came in dancing in multicolor, like a screensaver. And I didn't know what it was, because I had no memory, right? But because I had been chanting, my whole life up to that point, I started chanting, just out of habit, even though I had no senses. And after I started chanting, my memory came, oh yes, I'm a devotee of Krishna, and my name is Narayani. But it appears I have left my body, and why didn't I go back to Godhead? How come I'm here in the void? So, oh my goodness, this is really bad. Anyway, but one thing I did learn was that even if you forget Krishna at the time of death, if you chant your whole life, Krishna will not forget you. as effect. And that's how he came to me in that near-death time. So the last wishes of Alexander the Great, he had come to India. He had a little experience with sages of India. I don't know if you know Alexander the Great, but he was from, I think, Greece, or somewhere around there. And he came and he was conquering India, and there was one sage in the middle of his path. But he was very respectful to sages. He was a pious king in one sense. He went up to the sage and he said, my dear sage, is there anything I can do for you? And the sage said, yes, please move away. I'm trying to worship the sun and you're in my light, you're in my way. So he could have given him immense riches or anything, but no. And so Alexander the Great, he learned something from being in India. So when he was on his deathbed, he told his generals, I have three wishes. The first wish is the best doctor should carry my coffin to the cemetery. The second wish is that all of my wealth should be put on the road in the procession on the way to the cemetery. And the third wish was that my hand should be let out loose outside the coffin for everyone to see. Now why? Why did he want the best doctors to carry his coffin? Why is that such a strange wish? Anybody have an idea about that? Yes? Even the best doctors cannot save you, so he was trying to tell you that. And all his money, all his wealth was to be on the path to the cemetery. Because the money stays here and you go somewhere else. You will have a painful separation from your money if you're too attached. And the third wish, the hand should be let out loose for everyone to see. Because you come empty-handed and you leave empty-handed. And his instruction was that, you know, that the most important thing in your life is your time. Because time is more valuable than wealth. If you give someone your time, you cannot buy it back. Money you can get, things you can get, but time you cannot buy. You cannot buy time. So he felt that time was our most precious treasure. And it's a fact for devotees also. We're very conscious of time. We don't want to waste our time. We want to use every second to make progress in the spiritual path. So what happens at the time of death? Your whole life goes in front of you. And I had one of my students who, before she came to Krishna consciousness, she had a near-death experience and her whole life went in front of her eyes. And it stopped at one point. Which point did her, where did her mind stop? It was at one point when she was a teenager and she had killed a cat. Now just imagine if she had died at that point. What would have happened to her? She could have become a cat. Not a very, very honorable birth. So right now, we should take a very good picture of the deities and keep that in our heart and keep that in our mind. So it will be very clear that this is where our mind stops, the time of death. We will stop at the lotus feet of Radha Madan Mohan. We will stop at the lotus feet of Gornitai. We will stop at the lotus feet of Sitaram Hanuman Lakshman. There is another experience of one man. He was a military man, and he was his job was to kill people, assassinate actually. And he had a near-death experience. And so what happened with him, that he saw, he had to experience what each and every person felt when he was killing them, and what their friends felt, and what their family felt. And then he was selling guns to countries, and he had to feel the experience of whatever each and every person was feeling who was shot by his gun. So then he came back and he was a changed man. He changed his job to a better one. So it's very, very important, our consciousness now. Now we have a good chance to prepare for leaving our body, the final exam, the time of death. There is one of my godbrothers, his name is Chandrasekhar Swami, and he was sharing with us some of his feelings about this, and so I'd like to share this with you. This is quite interesting. He said, I'm looking forward to the end. How can I get myself to realize someday I'll be watching my final minutes tick away? Will I die from an accident? Will I be in pain? Death is all around us, isn't it? As Yudhisthira said, it's the most wonderful thing that everyone's dying, but we think it won't happen to me. We'll just live forever. He says, what it will be like knowing I will not go back to my familiar room, or I will no longer peck away at my beloved computer. I had another experience I was in the earthquake zone in New Zealand. And I woke up somehow at 2:30 in the morning, and I was chanting in my bed, and all of a sudden this huge tremor came. Very frightening, just like someone hit me. And my first thought was, oh no, my computer's gonna fall on the ground. That was my first thought. And then I was too scared to get out of bed to protect her, so I just kept chanting Hare Krishna. And that was, I had a couple of experiences in the earthquake zone. But yeah, it's very interesting to see where your mind goes when you have these experiences. So this devotee, he was saying that last year I attended several funerals. In a bizarre way, I like funerals. I like being reminded why I will one day lie there. Look there, there will be my body in that casket. I will lie there with people gathered around me, at least my body, wondering what type of prasadam is going to be served later. The service will pass, and the world will go about its regular ways and habits, not skipping a beat. But not I. I will be gone to another scene. This is what I always think at funerals. There is this one special funeral that is the last funeral I will have to attend, at least in this life. Now, I will not have to look for a ride home afterwards. Material nature has made all the arrangements. Maybe I'll go back to whatever planetary system I came from, as it is almost certain I did not come from this one. This year my mother passed away, a very dedicated lady, a very religious lady, a very funny lady. She had an odd sense of humor. Maybe that is where I get my sense of humor, should we decide to call it that. During my youth we were very close, but when I became a devotee, then we became competitors. Then about 8 or 9 years ago, my mother got Alzheimer's disease. In this stage, she sincerely liked me again without any religious stipulation. In fact, but to her, I was now a stranger. The last word she ever said to me was, "It was so nice to have met you," from my mother. And so it's very, very difficult. He said, I think back, there was something deeply warm and reassuring about that comment. That, yes, it was nice to have met you, because that's what happens, that we meet and then we part. So I would like to give you some examples of a very wonderful way how great devotees in the past, many thousands of years ago, have met death, and devotees in the present, our own devotees, how they have met death with great jubilation and celebration and happiness. So, first, from the scriptures, there is the example of Parikshit Maharaj. He was cursed to die in 7 days. And what was his reaction? Sadhu, very good, very good. Now I can go quickly to Lord Krishna. And he says, he prayed to all the sages. He said, if I may have to take my birth again, let me have complete attachment to Krishna. Let me have association with his devotees and friendly relations with all living entities. Another example was Dhruva Maharaj. As a child, he met the Lord and became perfect. So at the end of his life, an airplane came from the spiritual world, a Vaikuntha airplane. And there were wonderful shining beings on that airplane called Vishnudutas. And they said, come, this plane is for take you to the spiritual world. So he got a little bit confused how to react, and he started chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, and they liked that. They liked that idea. Prabhupada says in the purport, whether you're in happiness, you chant Hare Krishna, or when you're in distress, you can chant Hare Krishna. And you will pacify and satisfy yourself and everyone else. So what did he do? Did he just jump on the plane and leave? No. First he finished his morning sadhana, chanted his rounds, whatever he had to do. We chant our 16 rounds, we go to Mangalarti, he did all of that. Then what did he do after that? He took his bath, purified himself. And what did he do after that? He went and offered obeisance and asked blessings from each and every devotee who was there before he got on the plane. And then he circumvented the plane 3 times. And then he got on the plane. But before he got on the plane, death came. Yamaraj, Lord of Death, came. And how did he meet Yamaraj? The plane was a bit high off the ground, so he needed some steps. So he put his foot on the head of Yamaraj, Lord of Death, and he got into the plane. And so that is how a devotee leaves his body. Death comes, but Yamaraj comes to get the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee who is going back to Godhead. So these are examples. There is a difference, as Prabhupada said in the purport, between one who does remember Krishna and one who forgets. For one who forgets Krishna, it is just like a cat is holding a rat in its mouth, and the rat is feeling extreme anxiety. He knows what's going to happen to him. He's very fearful. For the devotee, it's just like a mother cat carrying the kitten in her mouth. And the devotee is feeling very happy and safe and secure. That yes, my mother has come to take me back home. Now I'm going back home with my mother. And so this is how the devotee faces death. And so I would like to share with you a few experiences of some of our own people. One is my god sister. Her name is Kunti, and she got cancer, and the cancer was all over her body, and she was crippled from the waist down. And the doctor said, nothing we can do, you have 6 months to live. And she was in the wheelchair, but she was always smiling, and she had so much pain, always encouraging, making everyone happy. And how blissful she was. So the local TV station, she was in Vrindavan, the local TV station came because they couldn't believe it. And they never seen anything like this. And they were praising her. And Kunti was just saying, oh, how beautiful is life. How beautiful is devotional service. How beautiful is Krishna. I have Krishna. And they said, well, how can you be so happy when you're in such a condition? So she said, because I know I'm the soul. I'm eternal. This body is just a temporary situation. And this is bringing me closer to God. So I'm rejoicing and I'm happy. So the doctors, you know, said she's hopeless and miserable except one thing, her consciousness. So she's one example. And then there's another one I would like to share with you, very recent. And this was one devotee. Her name was Mana Rupa, and she's some Prabhupada disciple. She was a faithful mother of 2 children and wife of 1 devotee. And they used to travel around with Indradumna Maharaja's Polish yatra, and they were doing a tent in the Woodstock festival. And they were living in Mayapur, and I was following this on Facebook, and they were putting up videos. She was in Mayapur. It was in Mayapur this February. And, you know, although she was just a simple woman, not famous, all the Maharajas were coming to see her. I saw the video of Indradumna Maharaj telling her, just go, let go of everything. I saw a video of Radhanath Swami preaching. I saw a video of Jayavataka Swami teaching her. And I saw also Veer Krishna Maharaj reading to her. I saw everybody was there. I said, why? Who is she? But if you hear about this, then you'll understand who she was. We have many pure devotees among us, but they're very humble and submissive. We don't recognize them. So this was a letter that was written by her husband, Prahlad Nrisimha, to everybody on Facebook because they were following it. You know how on Facebook people make comments when somebody's sick, when somebody's dying. And they make, so he was replying to each comment in a very extraordinary Krishna conscious way. So I'd like to share that with you. Her name. So he said, Mana Rupa is so happy and blissful, dear friends and well-wishers around the world and beyond. The love and affection coming down from your hearts is overwhelming. She said to me, you gave me so many wonderful days, taking me to the most amazing places in this world and giving me the most loving friends and family. I had so many wonderful times, but right now, this is the best time. You saved the best for last. So, quite amazing. And she, I saw on Facebook, she was just sitting there like a sage. She had stopped eating and drinking, and it was amazing. When I saw her, I didn't recognize her at first. She looked like a Tibetan sage, sitting in her bed. Throughout all this year struggle, she had no pain, and she doesn't take any painkillers. She's fully conscious and in true samadhi. Mind is equipoise, fixed in the holy name. Form and pastimes of Krishna. Devotees are coming and they're doing kirtan for her. She was in the conch building right next to the Radha Madhava temple. So she stopped eating solid food to become more internal and focus in the ultimate goal of life, go back home, back to Godhead. So the Lord is giving her so much love through the devotees and friends from around the world. But we want her eternal well-being and not the temporary so-called health. Many people sympathized. They said, we pray that she is well soon. I answered, yes, she will be well very soon, perfectly well, forever. She'll be very well. Other friends said, I feel very sad to see Mataji in this condition. I said, who's sad? Who's in a sad condition? She's happy, we're happy. The body, the boat that was given to cross this ocean has done its service. She crossed. It's glorious. She doesn't need the boat. So the boat is disintegrating into the elements again because material energy can't cross to the spiritual world. The body, the chakras, the mind, intelligence, ego stay put on this side. And the soul arrives and the devotee gets his eternal blissful body. Siddha Sarup, to serve the Supreme Lord in Goloka Vrindavan. Other friends said, I hope she recovers soon. Yes, we lost our spiritual identity by misusing our free will and we came to this material world away from Krishna. So many births, so many deaths. Here in this dark world, the shadow of spiritual world. Now she's recovering her spiritual identity. Yes, so very soon she will recover. Very soon. Other friends say, I pray she may rest in peace. Well, we're not the body. We don't get inside a coffin. Only the body does. And the body is not resting. It's becoming dust. For us, the party is just starting. She's not going to rest. She's going to join the party. She's going to the spiritual world. And they're having an eternal party up there. And I saw a video where they're having kirtan. And everyone was like, you know, around the bed, massaging her hands or feet, and she said, come on, get up and dance. And then they started dancing really happily because that was her mood. She was having a good time going back to Godhead. So this we can learn from here, from this. Others said, don't give up on life, but life is eternal. You can never give up life. Only the material has to be given up, willingly or unwillingly. Others said, oh, there's a doctor who saved many lives. I said, doctors can't save lives. Only Krishna can save our life from this material world. He and his representatives can save us. Mechanics can repair the car. They're not saving the car. The car is not conscious. So the supreme doctor at this point is Krishna, and the medicine is the holy name. Other friends said, may you have strength in this time of difficulty. By Krishna's grace, he sent his divine grace, who gave us perfect knowledge of the soul. And I'm feeling more grateful that I was given the association of Mana Rupa 25 years. Together we circled the world, sharing Krishna with all of you. I'm grateful Krishna Chaitanya is bringing her closer in his protection. My sons and I have been preparing for this moment, and auspicious omens are all around. Please don't feel offended. I've been asked how we are, and I'm honestly explaining to you our lucky situation. I read your messages to her every day, and she listens with a sweet smile and her hands on her heart. So she actually left on Ekadashi during the second day of the Kirtan Mela in Mayapur. And before she left, a few minutes, she asked her husband, are the deities open? He said, yes. She said, you think it's a good time to leave? He said, yes, and she left. Just like that. So it was quite amazing. And this is the consciousness that we need at the time of death. And okay, we're going to go join the party. It's a celebration. Let's be happy. Let's dance. Let's be joyful. Because it was a good life that we gave our life to Krishna. And now we can rejoice. And we can go back to him. So we will stop here. If there are any questions or comments, you may ask at this point. Yes?
How do we develop
it? Please wait for the mic.
Okay, a mic, there's some microphone coming to facilitate your voice to reach everyone.
My question was, how do we develop this consciousness that we want to join the party? You mentioned in the beginning of class of the foundation of Chaitanya Hare Krishna. And associating with devotees. Could you elaborate some more on how we can develop this consciousness that we're going to join the party?
How can we develop this consciousness of wanting to join the party? Well, you don't have to wait until the time of death. The party's on right now. We're in the Sankirtan party of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is our choice to join the party every moment and every second and every day. But we have to want to join the party. We have to have this desire to go to the spiritual world, not only at the time of death, but even now. We can be in the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada says in a purport in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, I'll see if I can, or I'd like to say the exact words, that Krishna consciousness can be attained within a second. Ah, here it is. One can attain Krishna consciousness or divine life at once within a second. Or one may not attain such a state of life even after millions of births. It is only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. Two points. First, we have to understand what is reality and what is illusion. Reality is the holy name of Krishna. That is because that will be here eternally. Reality is the spiritual world. Reality is that we are spiritual beings. That's the reality. And reality is the body will pass. It is a very fallible soldier, especially when you reach old age. So many things happen. Now we depend on the body, but when you hit old age, then you cannot depend on it anymore. Anything can give out at any second. So, but that is not reality. Reality is that we are eternal beings, we're servants of Krishna. That's good news. It's very good news. And that we don't have to die, we're eternal. Only the body dies. So we have to always constantly be in that consciousness, trying to try to be in yoga. So understanding and accepting the fact. Accept the fact that yes, the body will go, the soul will stay. So let me give myself food for the soul at every moment. Let me feed the soul, let me encourage the soul. Let me do spiritual things. Let me prepare for a spiritual life. Every desire we have in this life, every material desire we have will give us another material body. So be careful. And every spiritual desire we have will go into our spiritual bank account and everything we do. So we have to build up our spiritual bank account. And when it becomes full, we can purchase Krishna and we can go back to Godhead. So we have to keep putting deposits into our... Every mouth of prasadam we take, every obeisance we offer, every Hare Krishna mantra we chant is going into our spiritual bank account. Now, all of you here, you've got your spiritual bank account. Did you know? You have a spiritual bank account. This class is a deposit in your spiritual bank account. The prasadam, the feast, will be another big deposit. You can go back to Godhead, Prabhupada said, by eating prasadam. And so, yes, we want to increase our spiritual bank account somehow or other. Any other questions? Yes?
So I had a question about speaking to people in different modes of thinking when it comes to death.
When it comes to death?
Yes.
Okay.
I had a friend recently who had an experience. One of his loved ones passed away, and I know that this friend of mine doesn't believe in any kind of reincarnation. He doesn't believe that anything comes after the physical body passes away, or basically after we leave here. So I, you know, during times like that, when speaking to that type of person, I don't want to impose my own thoughts upon them. But what would you say about how to address that situation and still comfort them?
Yeah, well, one time I had one friend, I just met her now in the last place in Sweden. She and her husband, her mother had just died. And they came to Jagannath Puri, and Brijan Prabhu was there. And Brijan took one look at them, and he said, "Something happened. What happened?" And she said, "Yeah, my mother, I can't remember, mother, father just died." So Brijan Prabhu said, "This is not a time for philosophy. This is a time to cry. This is a time for crying. So you have to go through the grieving process first. And after, you have to, you know, sympathize and let them grieve at first. And then later, later when you feel like they're ready, you can say, 'But, you know, actually, she's not dead. They're not dead. Did you know?' And maybe he'll be ready to listen. You know, he might want to hear that they're not, you know, they're not really dead. They're somewhere. Because, you know, the body, you saw it, the body is not the person. Obviously something's missing. Something's gone. And that's her. She's gone somewhere else. Maybe start. But another helpful thing is to give them spiritual food. They need a little purification. So then they can understand the philosophy. Give them some prasad. That will be very helpful. Just say, "Oh, here's something for you to make you feel better." Prasadam is very powerful. And then when they eat prasadam, they'll be more receptive. But at the exact time, it's not good to try to compose your philosophy. That's correct. That's correct. If you're a devotee, yeah, even Brijan, these are devotees, very advanced devotees. He said, "No, this is a time to grieve. This is a time to cry now. Not for philosophy." Okay, anybody else? Yeah, there are different stages of grieving. Oh, who has it?
I have a question.
Whoa.
it's about finding a guru. Of course, we're fortunate. Guru.
Guru, okay. Finding.
You had one of the greatest.
Yes.
But these kind of people you don't find every day.
Yeah, Sri Prabhupada was amazing.
Do you feel like that, of course you could reach transcendence without a guru, but do you feel like your deposits, your spiritual bank account, what led you to such a great guru, or do you feel like it was just an outright gift from God, or what do you want to say about finding a guru?
Oh, well, there's a description in Chaitanya Charitamrita about finding a guru. And that is that what happens first is that you get the darshan of Gaur Nitai. So you're fortunate, you got that. When you take them in your heart, when you see them, then they help you to find two kinds of Bhagavatas, or persons who are spiritual. One is the book Bhagavat, and one is the person Bhagavat. So the person Bhagavat is the guru. So when the Lord sees somebody is sincerely trying, and I've heard this in so many devotees' lives, that, "Oh, I was crying to God that I really want to see you." 1 week later, they met the devotees. So it happens like that. I was searching for guru. I knew what I wanted. And I was trying many different ones until I found the real one. And so there are, right now in this time, there are Sri Prabhupada's children, and there he has given, empowered them also to help others. So you can search, you can help, you pray to Gaur Nitai. They are the ones who are going to help you right now that you've already come here. If you haven't seen Gaudiya Thai, that's okay. You just pray to whoever you think of as God. Pray to Christ, pray to... I know some devotees who were really good Christians, and they were praying, and one of them told me she had a dream where Mary, the mother of Christ, took her on the top of a mountain, pointed down to the devotees and said, go there. That's where I am. That's where we are. So if you sincerely pray, then a guru will be revealed to you. So that how to choose a guru, they have courses now in Guru Disciple, and they will explain to you, they will train you what to look for when you're looking for a guru. I would say you must have faith that this person can counsel me, guide me, deliver me from material life and take me to the spiritual world. You must have that faith in that person. And it's okay to test. Prabhupada says you must test, the guru must test you, you must test the guru for 1 year. And to see if this is... I would also say you would have to look carefully at what service the guru is doing for their spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Because most likely, if you become their disciple, you'll have to help them in that service. If they're writing books, if they're doing Harinam, there's one guru who does drama, and does long parikramas. So you have to look at that. There's many things you need to look at. Okay, any other questions? Yes. There's many microphones. Okay.
You mentioned that there is no need to wait to join the party. Often there's a thought in the mind that I still have these many years to go.
You have many years to go before death?
Exactly. So there's a thought in the mind. Yeah. I still have many years to go because I'm still not old.
No. Yeah. Well, it's not a requirement to be old to join the party.
Exactly. So how train the mind? Because mind has this thought that not right now.
I know.
Little later.
That's yes.
But so. We were coming back from somewhere, and I and my wife in a plane, and it was severe turbulence. And we felt that time that it could be any moment.
It could be any moment, yes.
So I'm asking this, it was difficult for me to train my mind that time, hold my mind that time. So I'm asking your help.
So asking how to...
Train the mind. When there's an immediate sign that there could be something disastrous. And how to train the mind on the long term.
Just take a taxi from Vrindavan to Delhi. and back. or Calcutta to Mayapur. That's worse. Train the mind. It's not just that we want the mind to be afraid out of fear that we take shelter, but it's also out of joy. What are you missing? You know, what happiness are you missing now? You know, by not joining the party. The party is where everything's happening, and all the happiness is there. It's not like